Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless everyone on the line this morning. This is Sister Kathy, and I'm in Williamsport. I am filling in this morning for Apostle Dr. Alfreda Bradford, who is our life coach in the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministry. Welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone. Thank you for signing in on this morning. And as we tried and attempt to bring the word to you in the name of Jesus. Our Father and our God, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for watching over us last night as we slept and we slumbered, oh God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for touching our bodies real early this morning, oh God, that we would rise and we have you on our mind. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, I pray that you please touch Dr. Alfreda's body. Lord, lift her up where she's needed. Oh, Heavenly Father, and just wrap your loving, healing arms all around her. Bless her, Lord, from the top of her head into the soles of her feet. I pray for her home. I pray for her family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for anyone and everyone who may be feeling ill today, oh God. Even if it's just a bug in the air, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will meet them at their point of need. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before your people, oh God. These are your people. We are your children, and you are our Heavenly Father. And I thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings, and these and all of the blessings I pray and ask in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about Elijah. Elijah and Elisha. In our Sunday school lesson, for the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about Elijah. We talked about how Elijah was, God had selected him to go and to talk to the people in Israel and to bring them back to God because they were under Baal and they were worshiping Baal. And then as the story goes on, Baal, when Elijah said that he was going to go and talk to Baal, and he wanted to talk to him, but he was coming in so that he would be able to talk to the people. However, Baal challenged him, and he said, if you call on your God, he said, and see if your God is mightier than my God. So Elijah, he knew. He felt like he was all alone and that he was the only person who was serving God. So I just want to read to you, and you'll hear a little bit. Because I don't want to talk off the top of my head. So, okay, in Elijah, he challenged the prophet. So during the time Elijah was staying in Zephaniah, Ahab, king of Israel, was apparently looking for him. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, had been killing the prophets who followed God, and we can assume Ahab and Jezebel wanted to do the same to Elijah. A man named Obadiah was in charge of Ahab's palace. Obadiah was a devout follower of God and had hidden some prophets of God from Jezebel to keep them safe. God instructed Elijah to present himself to Ahab. The drought had grown so severe that Ahab had sent Obadiah to find grass to keep his horses alive. Ahab likely didn't want to risk a decrease in military strength. During his search, Obadiah encountered Elijah, and their exchange was interesting. Elijah wanted Obadiah to tell Ahab that he was coming. Obadiah was afraid to make the announcement for fear that Ahab would kill him, especially if Elijah didn't show up. Elijah promised to keep his word, and Obadiah announced the visit to Ahab. Elijah's challenge was intended to prove that the God of Israel is one true God so that the people would turn from Baal and once again worship God. Elijah wanted to ensure that there could be no doubt of the contest's fairness, so he asked that all 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah be present to plead with their God. Before Elijah's demonstration of God's power, the people refused to commit themselves to either God or Baal. And I'm reading this, and it comes from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And then it goes on to say the showdown was after some time had passed. Without a response from Baal, Elijah began taunting the false prophets. Their response was to cut themselves, a common pagan practice in those days. Now, we know that people do cut themselves, and I don't know. I was told that when people are in pain and they have a habit of cutting themselves, it's sort of, I guess, in their mind, so mentally, it reduces the pain, the actual pain. So back in these days, it says that this was like a common practice that they did that, and people believed that injuring themselves would convince their gods that they were sincere. When it was his turn, Elijah wanted to ensure that the contest couldn't possibly be seen as slanted in God's favor, so he had the altar and sacrifice drinks with water. Of Israel is, Baal was thought to be the god of water and fire. Now, let's remember that, okay? Baal was supposed to be the god of water and fire. Elijah wanted to show the God of Israel is the one of true God. When God responded, as Elijah knew he would, the people made the right choice. With the people on his side, Elijah took advantage of the moment, and he got rid of the false prophets, and Ahab didn't stop him. Interesting. Then we go on to see where God spoke to Elijah in a whisper. And how many of you know that if you just don't do anything, just stand still, just sit still, just ponder, just think on the Lord, and you can hear God's voice when he speaks to you. And God doesn't have to yell at you or shout at you, but just a whisper, just a whisper. Just as we can sit and we just all call on the name of Jesus. We don't have to scream to Jesus or yell, but just a whisper, and he hears you. Thank you, because he knows our thoughts even before they enter in our minds. So thank God for that. And God, all-powerful, all-knowing, he is omniscient. He's all-knowing of everything. So as we go on now, Queen Jezebel has vowed to kill Elijah for showing up her idol Baal. You see, he showed him up. He let him know God is the only true and living God. And he wouldn't turn and go to Baal. Baal didn't have the power that God had. Only God, Almighty, Almighty. So after the events of Mount Carmel, Elijah may have been physically and emotionally exhausted. Rather than relishing another chance to prove God's power over Jezebel, he tired of the fight, alone and probably in fear. Elijah ran for his life. Even though Elijah's faith was apparently weak at this point, God was faithful and brought food and drink to him in the desert. In fact, Elijah hadn't abandoned God after eating and drinking. He began a 40-day journey to Horeb, the mountain of God. Elijah was 3.5 years hiding from Jezebel, from the threat that Jezebel was going to kill him. Elijah's statement recorded in 1 Kings 19:10 reveals his feelings. He felt alone, abandoned by the Israelites, and was tired of running and hiding to protect his life. It seemed to him that he was the only one in the world who truly followed God. Elijah shared his feelings with God, and God responded to promising to bless Elijah with his presence. God comes to Elijah. God's lesson to Elijah and all that happened on the mountain may have been a response to something we are not told, but by coming to Elijah in a gentle whisper, God showed Elijah that he wanted him to continue his mission in speaking to the Israelites for him. And Elijah was reminded that God was with him even when the prophet felt utterly alone. Now, our key verse here was, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And you can read that in Isaiah 41:10. So, after giving Elijah instructions for the next move, God has some encouraging news to keep Elijah going. 7,000 others in Israel hadn't worshipped Baal. Elijah wasn't alone in following God. So Elijah was assumed not only that God was beside him when he felt alone, but also that thousands of others in Israel were faithful to God. He would never really be alone. How many of you think sometimes we feel alone in this journey? I mean, it's like people who we think that are friends, even Christians, who we thought that was friends, was close with us, we're walking the same, we're in agreement with each other as we're worshiping God, and then all of a sudden you find out that, no, you feel alone because those people may be living in carnality. I mean, I've been there. I lived in carnality, but you know, I asked the Lord, just let me do your ministry. So I stopped everything that I was doing. I stopped. And all I want to do is just read scriptures, get that scripture in me, in my heart. Because God said, you have to hide that word in your heart that you might not sin against him. So this is what we do. And I just cut away all those things. But in doing so, I looked around and I lost people. And I began to feel like I was the only person who truly wanted to worship God. I mean, truly wanted to worship God, not go home after service and you smoking cigarettes or you drink. I never was a drinker, but you drinking or whatever it is the case may be. You're doing these things and, you know, of the world. You want to hold on to the world. You want to be a people pleaser so you have people in your life. But those people are not walking with you anymore. They were there for a season, and the season is over. And now they're going their way. They're worshiping God the way they think that they want to be. And that's okay because it's not me. But I thank God for what he did and how he brought me out of the wilderness and how I realized that it was only him that I need to serve. I mean, I'm 63 years old, and I just want to worship God, serve God until the last breath that I can take. It's all I want to do. I have a significant other. I've divorced. So I live alone, and I still don't feel like I'm alone because I know that he is with me. And as long as I know I have to keep that promise, I can do whatever God would have me to do. Only what God would have me to do, because whatever we do for Christ is what's going to last. And I thank God for that. And then also our key verse here is, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So I thank and praise God for that. So this is my Sunday coming. And this is when we learn that Elijah trained Elisha. God chose Elisha to succeed Elijah as prophet in Israel. Elisha immediately became Elijah's attendant. And you can read that in 1 Kings 19:19-21. We don't know how Elisha knew about what was to happen, but apparently he realized that his mentor, Elijah, would soon be taken to heaven. Elisha was totally committed to staying with Elijah until the very end. That's commitment. We know that the companies of prophets existed during those days of Elijah and Elisha. It appears that Elijah visited some of these companies one last time before he was taken to heaven. Elijah suggesting that he go on without Elisha. After visiting each of these places may have been intended to test Elisha's faithfulness, or perhaps Elijah merely wanted him to be alone. Elisha, however, refused to forego his last hours with Elijah. He wanted to benefit as much as possible from Elijah before Elijah went to be with God. Elisha's persistence was recorded when Elijah asked him if he could do for Elisha, what he could do for Elisha before he was taken to heaven. Elisha's request was a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Was likely based on the inheritance rules of the day, which entitled the oldest son to be a double portion of his father's estate. Elisha succeeding Elijah as prophet in Israel wanted that double portion of God's power to help him face the responsibility of the spiritual leader of that nation. God had supported and protected Elijah throughout his ministry. Now, Elisha witnessed a heavenly scene in the form of a chariot, fire, and horses of fire taking Elijah home to God. Elisha was allowed to see God's spiritual forces at work. The whirlwind, the fire, was signs of the power and presence of God. Elijah was the second person in the Old Testament to never experience death. As with Enoch before him, he was simply taken to heaven. Now, I want to put a pin in that right now. You see, Elisha, who Elijah trained, because now Elisha knows that Elijah's time is up. He's going to go to heaven. So the only thing he wanted was a double portion of Elijah's spirit. So when Elijah asked him, what can I give you before I leave? That's what he asked for. And Elijah told him, he said, yeah, if and when you see a chariot coming to pick me, to take me, that's when you can receive that spirit. So he did witness it. And this, as it, we just read here, he did witness it. And when he witnessed it, he did receive the spirit. Elijah had thrown his cloak around Elisha's shoulders when he first called Elisha to join him. And you can read that in 1 Kings 19:19. After Elijah ascended to heaven, Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, symbolizing Elisha's full assumption of Elijah's ministry. Elisha tested how fully the power of God was with him and demonstrated it all to who he could see. When he parted the water of Jordan by striking it with the cloak, Elisha had been faithful to Elijah and to God, and God rewarded him with the strength he would need to minister as a prophet amid the evil conditions of that existed in Israel. So God now has given the power to Elisha to carry on the ministry that Elijah was doing, and this is in, up until then when he ended it. So I want to read here where it says, my journey and Elijah's. That's when after he had gone up to heaven. And so then the Lord said, do not fear, for I am with you. And that we read in Isaiah 41:10. So, again, sometimes we do feel like we're alone, but we know that we're not alone because God is with us. We are his children, and he is our Heavenly Father. And as long as we continue to walk with him, to talk with him, to just pray with him, as he said, to get into the word so that we are workmen, not to be ashamed, but we can then rightly divide the word of truth. To God be the glory. God is so good. God is so faithful. And as we see here, Elisha was faithful to Elijah. He wanted to stay with him. Elijah wanted him to leave, but he said, no. He said, I'm going to be with you until the end. And he stayed with him. And that is just such a wonderful thing, a wonderful story. Because, you know, where you get that dedication anymore? You know, do you have one friend who will stay with you no matter what, who will walk with you, who will talk with you, who will just go right on with this journey with you? You have one friend who will tell you right, wrong, or indifferent? And are you able to accept whatever it is that they say? Keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus, because I believe that it's not as long as it has been, and Jesus is soon to come back. And he wants us to be ready when he returns. But he wants us to be occupying. That's what he said, occupy until I come. That means occupy in ministry, occupy in worship. Every chance that you have to minister to someone, every chance that you have to pray for someone, always. I am so grateful, and I want to just be humble, and that's what I'm trying to work on in my life, the humbleness. I don't want to be forceful, because that's not what God is telling me, but I want to just be humble, and I want to do the work of the ministry. And when you put it out there in the atmosphere, you'll find that God will have it done. I am so pulled out of my comfort zone, I can't tell you. I am so pulled out. Now, I'm teaching Sunday school, and it's a wonderful thing. And I accept it, and I receive it. But I know that we are all learning. So I don't see myself as a Sunday school teacher, because I was never a teacher of anything. But I do see myself as being able to work in ministry. We all getting into the word. We're digging deeper, and we're trying to see and know just what God has said. Because in everything that is in the Bible, we can relate to. We can relate in our lives today, or we can see what's happening around us today. Everything that we read in the Bible we can really relate to it. And, you know, it's amazing. God is amazing in how he does things. You know, he says, always be ready to give an account or answer to any man that asks. So I thank and praise God for that, because here this morning I'm serving, and I praise God for Dr. Bradford for asking me to serve, because as I am about to bring this lesson forth on Sunday, now this was like my trial run, if you will. Okay, so I thank and praise God for that. You know, she didn't ask me to say this, but I will, because today is offering day in the Life Work Jesus Kingdom Ministry. And so if the doors are open, if anyone who wants to partner with this ministry, please do, because this is rich soil, and she's teaching us so much. She's pulled me out of my comfort zone. I mean, you know, whether I wanted to or not, or ask or not, but I thank and praise God for that, because she's led by the Holy Spirit, and everything that the Holy Spirit gives her, she gives us. So I thank God for her so much, and I just say that, you know, please partner with us. Come on and join us, because we're here every day, every morning at 6 a.m., and then from Wednesday to Friday, we're on Facebook, 5 a.m., and, you know, it doesn't cost anything to be saved, but it does take money to do ministry. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, and I thank you for listening to me on this morning. To God be the glory. I pray that everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Be blessed. Walk with the King, and be a blessing. This is Sister Kathy from Williamsport. To God be the glory. Now, I was asked to end the service, so I just want to say, Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ, he is Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And we want to meet him one day just to go somewhere around God's throne. In the name of Jesus, we'll be able to cast our crowns at his feet. So everyone have a wonderful and blessed day. And just be blessed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.